You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST. And right here for the Locked On LSU podcast. Baseball Tigers are back on the diamond tonight against ULM. We also got some football talk to delve into here as we recap the spring game from this past weekend. Continue putting a button on spring football. And had a chance to visit with former LSU linebacker Derry Beckwith, of course, who is a Baton Rouge guy, became an all-SEC linebacker at LSU, was not only all-conference, but was the starting middle linebacker on the 2007 National Championship team, and has some great perspectives on the LSU Tigers, was at the spring game on Saturday. And we talked about both offense and defense, but we started with the position that Derry knows best and LSU's linebackers and how they looked on Saturday.
Well, obviously, you just brought up a great point. They're missing three of their starters. I believe that Jared Small was the guy who popped out to me from your alma mater, Catholic High.
Thank you for that.
So that's a plug for Catholic High. Jared Small did an outstanding job. I think he's a guy who's been playing on special teams. And sometimes when you get that walk-on stigma, you don't get the opportunity that you should get. So I think after that game, Coach Ogeron and that whole defense staff has to take a longer look at Jared Small. You look at a guy like Damone Clark. And again, I am an avid fan of Damone Clark. I'm going to beat the table for Damone Clark. But I think for him to be successful and have a productive year at LSU and beyond, he needs to play the outside linebacker position or stand up defensive end and rush the passer and get some quarterback pressure. So I think for him, the middle linebacker position is not best suited for his skill set. He has a great skill set, but I believe it's a bit more suited for the outside linebacker position role where he can either put his hand in the dirt, stand up, and rush the passer.
All right, Derry, you stole the words out of my mouth. I mean, that's exactly what I said when we started the show today, but I want you to elaborate. Why? What is that skill set? Because this is where you have knowledge that I don't. What is that skill set that Damone Clark has that makes him better suited to be outside than inside?
Think about this. Playing the inside linebacker position, it's a lot different because you're playing off the ball. And when you're playing off the ball, you have to read certain keys. So we call it the triangle. You're reading from the tackle, running back to the guard. So it's a lot that goes into it playing with that. Playing off the ball, you have to have fast twitch muscles. And not saying Damone Clark can't run. Yeah, in a straight line, he can get after it. But as far as in today's game, the spread offenses being sideline to sideline, he doesn't have the skill set to do that. What he does have is a straight line speed where an oversized offensive tackle with his strength and his speed, he can get up on the tackle heels and get pressure on the quarterback and cause havoc. I go back to his freshman year. He made a great impact rushing the passer, blitzing off the edge. They used him in different TE stunts, which is a defensive end tackle stunt. So I think if they do that, and if he realizes that, the guy can have a great, long, successful career. He's an outstanding young man, a great student, a great person. I just don't want to see his talent wasted at the inside linebacker position.
Now, they got to have an inside linebacker for him to be able to move outside. We didn't get to see Bug Strong in the spring game. Did you get to see – I haven't asked you this. Did you get to see him at all this spring? Do you have any impression of him?
No, I have not got to see him this spring. Everything that I've heard has been great. They say he's very physical. He's a downhill thumper, which that is great. And I love to see a downhill thumper as well. But at the same time, what I want to hear is he able to stick his foot in the ground and get sideline to sideline? That's something that Devin White was incredible at. And I'm not comparing him to Devin White. Right. I know that's way in another stratosphere. But Devin White was able to play downhill and also move sideline to sideline as well. Because in these different offenses, man, you have to be able to make a quick, decisive decision. And the linebackers have to make sure that they can plant their foot in the ground, get sideline to sideline, and grab running backs and do multiple things.
And Derry Beckwith is our guest. So theoretically, Derry, you have Bug Strong there at the inside that allows a guy like Damone Clark, and Mike Jones, the Clemson transfer, to play their more natural outside position. Another guy they expect to have back also, of course, is Micah Baskerville. Had to take care of some academic stuff this spring, didn't participate. What is Baskerville's role in this defense in 2021?
I love Micah Baskerville. When he came in last year, I think he came in for Damone Clark for a few games and then ended up starting.
Yes.
I think he played well. He has a knack and a nose for the football. One thing you can't teach at the linebacker position is a nose for the football. That's instinct, and that's a God-given ability. Now, is he the fastest and most athletic? Absolutely not. But one thing he does has, he can diagnose a run-pass play. And with these run-pass offenses that they now have, you have to be able to diagnose if it's a run play or a pass play. And I think that's something that Micah Baskerville does extremely well. So hopefully he gets his grades in order, does what he's supposed to do, and be ready to go on the field this fall for the Tigers.
A couple more minutes with Dari Beckwith. New defensive coordinator, obviously, with Durante Jones. Did you notice, I mean, it's a spring game. It's so hard to tell. But were there things that you could notice that were different Saturday from what you noticed last year with Bo Pelini?
Absolutely. I was talking to my good friend, Will Lambert. We talk all the time about this. And one thing that I noticed and that we noticed together is that they're keeping everything in front of them. I know they played a lot of man-free, but the whole thing in today's offense, obviously, Pelini loves to blitz. And I believe, and look, I came in your show when he got hired.
Right.
Okay? I took a lot of flack for it. But Pelini was still in that 07, 08 mindset where you can just blitz and bring the house. Well, you cannot do that nowadays with all the crossing and rub routes that the offenses do. So, the main thing as a defense now is to drop seven, maybe rush four, drop eight and rush three, and keep everything in front and allow your athletes to, if they do complete the pass, come down, make a tackle, either make it third and long or get them to punt the football. So I think he's going to be great for the Tigers. He had interviews from the players. They're excited about him because of the youthfulness that he brings. He's able to relate to them not only on the field but off the field as well.
Dari also had some comments on the LSU offense from Saturday, and I always think it's interesting to get a defensive guy's perspective of the offense because they're looking at it through a different lens. We'll get to that. Let me remind you about Rock Auto and rockauto.com, Rock A-U-T-O. Rock Auto is a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Just go to rockauto.com and shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. One reason to repair and maintain your car is saving money that you can use for other important things like, you know, your mortgage or food. Like, why choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same parts at a chain store or at a new dealership? Go to rockauto.com and save. Everything from carburetors to carpet, even motor oil and windshield wipers. rockauto.com. If you're a classic driver, if you're a daily driver, rockauto.com has the parts for you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. When you get to checkout, be sure you write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. rockauto.com. The Locked On Podcast Network is covering the NFL draft from all angles. Catch up on the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast, presented by Odyssey. Follow Locked On NFL Draft and the Draft Dudes podcast for their latest draft news. And stay tuned for more info about our live NFL draft coverage. We're visiting with former LSU linebacker Dari Beckwith, who was at the LSU spring game on Saturday. We started by talking about defense. Wanted to flip it over and ask Dari if he saw anything offensively that stood out Saturday.
Want to go negative or positive?
I don't care. You pick. Just what stood out?
Well, for me, one thing that stood out is the offensive line. I think that's still an issue. Now, we have one issue already resolved is the quarterback position. I mean, we have three guys that we can put out and I think be comfortable with winning football games. And that's been the whole story for LSU for a long time. We have no quarterback. And that's great. So we have a great quarterback room. But now the concern to me is the offensive linemen. They look out of shape. They didn't look like physically imposing. So they need to do some reassessment at that position, maybe get a Duco transfer, and do some shuffling. Look, I think Austin Deckless has been starting at right tackle for 3 or 4 years. Not saying he's not a great player, but that's another guy I think would be best suited if you move him to that right guard position. With his strength and his girth, he can be a downhill force in the run game if you play him at the guard position, because he struggles against great pass rushers, especially in the SEC. You better have a right tackle that can protect the QB's blind side. So I think he's best suited for the right guard. He'll be a great right guard. Not knocking him, but he'll be an excellent right guard. But that's the position I think they have to take a look at and reevaluate.
You said, did you want me to go positive or negative? So that's one. Look, and there, it's fair, man. I mean, that's an issue where they struggled a year ago. And the point that I made is, just because you got everybody back from a unit that wasn't very good, don't mean you're good all of a sudden. Those guys have to improve. What about on the other side? Did you see anything offensively that you liked?
Well, the quarterback. Okay. I believe you have I don't want to make an assumption and say who's going to be the starting quarterback, okay? I do believe the most talented person in the quarterback room is T.J. Finley. But Max Johnson and Miles Brennan are neck and neck to take the starting position. And with those two guys, I don't think you can go wrong. I look at a guy like Max Johnson, who's 6'4", 6'5", 240 pounds, can run the football, makes great decisions. Even being a young quarterback, he uses progression from the 1, 2, 3, 4, 3. Miles Brennan got his feet wet last year, was topping the country with passing in the passing yards. Our defense was just so atrocious. It just made him look like he didn't really do anything, but that wasn't the case. I mean, Miles Brennan balled last year. Miles Brennan put up a lot of numbers. So I'm extremely satisfied where the quarterbacks are now. And that offense, they looked decisive. It looked like they knew what they were doing. They had a plan when they called the play. So I'm extremely excited about the offense. Got to get that O-line squared away and fixed up.
On tomorrow's podcast, we will go a deeper dive on the offensive side with former LSU quarterback Rohan Davey, who was at the spring game on Saturday and did have a chance to talk to all four of the quarterbacks before the spring game on Saturday. So looking forward to getting Rohan's thoughts. You'll hear that tomorrow right here on the Locked On LSU podcast. Tonight, the Baseball Tigers are back at the box against ULM. We will preview that game momentarily. Remember, if you want to bet on all of your sports action, you can do it at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but man, college basketball over as well. The NBA in full swing. Major League Baseball just getting ramped up. The NHL's second half is in full swing. You want to bet games, point spreads, money lines, real-time updated odds, prop bets on almost anything you can imagine. It's all there at betonline.ag. It is safe, secure, easy, and fun. Games are always a little more interesting when you got some action on the game. Betonline.ag. Head to the website or use your mobile device, betonline.ag. It is free to start your account, betonline.ag. And when you use the code LOCKEDON, they will give you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. The Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, presented by Locked On and Odyssey, is happening now, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason Lockenfora, and Brian Baldinger, our local experts for every team making trades, picking the next stars of their team. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your home, your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's AUDACY. Paul Maneri met with the media on Monday to set the stage for Tuesday's game at home against ULM, but also recapping the weekend. And it's safe to say Paul Maneri was doing a good bit of second guessing on Monday.
You know, when you get beat, when you're winning 2-0 and they score 4 runs in the last inning, those games cause you to toss and turn all night, because you say, should I have left Labus in? Should I have, you know, done this? Should I have done that? You know, you second guess every decision that you make. You know, we've lost, I don't know how many games it is, by 1 run or 2 runs in the league this year. It's been like 4 or 5, I guess, you know, and you know that if those games had been, even if you just took, like I said, the 2 games where we 1 strike away or 2 outs away and we had the leads, you know, even if you just turn those 2 games around, you feel like, you know, you're right in the middle of the pack, at least, you know. I mean, you're just, you know, it's just so frustrating to think that you're so close.
Everything that Paul Maneri said there pretty much falls in line with what we discussed yesterday about how the two games, which he referenced, where you led right there at the end against Tennessee and against South Carolina, that has mathematically made your season, made making postseason an improbability. Just those two games right there. But they've got to get through it, and Will Helmers is going to start on Tuesday. Now, Helmers has been the midweek guy, and Paul Maneri was asked why we haven't seen Helmers either of the last two weekends. And the point he made was less about the third starter and more about what's happening at the end of games.
But in all honesty, the least of my concerns right now is the third starter role. The bigger concern is being able to close out a game that we have a chance to win. And that's been my biggest concern all year. You guys have been watching the games. It started in the non-conference games. You know, being able to close out a game has been the biggest concern. You know, I mean, if you go back even in the several years that I've been the coach here, you know, I've always said that the ability to close out a game, the closer's role is more important than the third starter. You know, you got two starters and you gotta have somebody that can. What good does it do to pitch 6-7 good innings and not be able to finish a game? You know, I'd rather have somebody that can do that than worry about the third starter. You can always try to piece together a third game if you had to with everybody that remains.
I do get that it's somewhat of a chicken or the egg question. If you can't close out a game, what does it matter to have a good start? But I would also argue if you don't have a good start, you only have the opportunity to close out a game. So you need that good start as well to give you the opportunity to be in position to win a game late. And what you're seeing now really is validation of something that I know I said here early and often, and that's, you know, LSU's biggest advantage at the start of the season when you were Hill, Marso, Labus. The biggest advantage LSU had was having a guy like AJ Labus as your Sunday starter, because not every team has an established Sunday starter. And even fewer have one that's pitched 100 innings in their career like LSU did with Labus. Well, when Labus moved up to Saturday because of Hill's injury, you were now vulnerable on Sunday, and we've seen it each of the last 2 weeks, and that's something that's going to be persistent. So it's made digging out of this hole even more difficult for LSU. I, for one, just can't understand how a guy like Helmers, who's been your consistent midweek guy, doesn't even touch the ball each of the last two weekends, especially when you've had the issue that you had. But Helmers will get the start tonight. He won't go long in case if they need him this weekend. That's according to Paul Maneri, but it's also a little odd considering they haven't used him either the last two weekends. LSU has had a lot of success over the years against ULM. Tigers are 40-8 all-time against ULM. Last time they met was in the 2019 season opener, and LSU won that one 12-7. Prior to that, the teams met back in the 2012 Baton Rouge Regional. LSU posted a 4-1 win at the box that day with a freshman, Aaron Nola, on the bump, as I recall. LSU's number 27 in the RPI, and they have the second hardest strength of schedule in America, which speaks to why the record looks like it looks when you keep running out a young team against this type of schedule and keep waiting for something good to happen. It just hasn't really happened. For what it's worth, ULM is not named a starter yet for this ball game, and the Warhawks is a team hitting just .259 with 17 homers. So this is not a very strong offensive team, and their pitching staff has a cumulative 5.08 ERA. ULM just 13-18 on the season. So LSU's looking for an opportunity to have some fun, likely get a win, hopefully have an impressive performance and build toward this weekend where you got to go to Ole Miss. This is a good opportunity for it. So LSU and ULM, 6:30 tonight from Alec Box Stadium. We will recap that game tomorrow right here on the Locked On LSU podcast. If you have not done so yet, I encourage you always, please subscribe to the Locked On LSU podcast. Rate us, review on iTunes, leave a rating and a review. It just helps tremendously. Subscribe and tell your friends if they want about 20 minutes or so of LSU content every single day. We give it to you right here on the Locked On LSU podcast. Till tomorrow, it is Locked On LSU, your team every day.